What's the problem in focusing on the commandments in order to live out the Christian life? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in the last few episodes of our series called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. We have a book on our website by the exact same name, and I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you how to get your very own copy of that book. As for now, let's jump right to the Grace in Focus studios with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are continuing our series on six secrets of the spiritual life. And in the last episode, we started talking about this last principle that Zane Hodges puts forth in his book, Six Secrets. And that last principle is we need a spiritual mindset. And we started talking about what it means to have a spiritual mindset. And we started to explore from Romans chapter 8 that there are two possibilities. You can have a mindset on the flesh, or you can have a mindset on the spirit. A lot of people will emphasize, heavily emphasize, the commands of God. Let's say the Ten Commandments.
Right.
A lot of people have a copy of the Ten Commandments in their home, and they make their children memorize those Ten Commandments as rules of behavior. And I would think that if you went into a typical Christian bookstore and you went into the Christian living section, you would find a lot of books that lay out the rules and regulations of the Christian life.
Right.
And so it's definitely, there's a focus on the commandments. Isn't that how you grow in the Christian life? You focus on the commands, you memorize the commands, and you try your best to live up to those commands.
No. Now, you see, that's Paul's experience that he had early in Romans chapter 7. In fact, you may be able to find the exact verse, but Paul said, "I delight in the law of God in the inner man." Well, the inner man is the face of his birth, right? We had a discussion of the chapter where the Word of God is a mirror that shows us that inner man that does delight. Where does Paul say in Romans 7 that he delights in the law of God in the inner man?
Well, that's verse 22 in Romans 7. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." And that inward man is a very specific thing for Paul. It's the born-again part of you.
Right. When he says this, he's saying two things in the second half of Romans 7. Number one, there is an inward part of him that has the right desires.
Right.
But there's also his mortal flesh.
Right.
His dead body. And this mortal flesh is not able to do what the inner man wants to do.
It just doesn't want to come along.
Unless, Romans 8, the Spirit of God energizes and brings the resurrection power of Christ into play so that the dead body can live, so
right.
that this dead body can produce life and peace. Romans 8, 5, and 6, we talked about it the last time.
Right. It's kind of interesting that at the beginning of Romans 7, Paul is very focused on the law, and he's talking about what happens when he was focused on the law. He talks about his sinful passions were aroused by the law. The law isn't sin, but he wouldn't have known covetousness unless the law had said, "You shall not covet." In verse 8, "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead." And so I wonder, what do you think about this? Teachers who emphasize Christian living, if they emphasize the commandments as a pathway to growth, it sounds like if you emphasize the commandments, in Paul's experience, it has the opposite effect.
Right. And you'll see this in many churches and many traditions. There is an emphasis on the commandments, so much so that what it produces is a bunch of people who are fighting with each other. In Galatians, Paul says, "Beware lest you devour one another," Galatians 5:16.
Right.
And it also produces people who are comparing with one another.
Right.
"I think I'm more spiritual than brother so-and-so over here."
Right.
"Because I don't do this or I don't do that." Or, "Did you see what brother so-and-so said or what
yeah.
he did?" You know, that type of thing is more common in a church that's focusing on the commandments. Now, it's not that we're ignorant of the commandments. It's not that we avoid the commandments.
Right.
we want to please God, and our inner man delights in that. In 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not burdensome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's because they're synced up with the inward man.
Right.
They're what we want to do. We're aware of what the commandments are, as we said, under the teaching of God's word. James calls this the implanted word in James chapter 1.
Right.
The question is, how do we obey the implanted word? And the way we do is by focusing not on the commands, but on the command giver, the commander, the one who wrote the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see him in Scripture, well, then our life is changed. And it's about a spiritual mindset, seeing life not primarily as a matter of do's and don'ts, but seeing life primarily as Christ.
Mm.
He is my life.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, who is my life.
Right.
I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. As I see Christ as my life, then I have a spiritual mindset. He lives through me as the Spirit energizes me. That doesn't come about by some sort of dedication or some kind of magic prayer I pray. It comes about by a daily prayer that God would enable me to do what he's commanded me to do. I'm praying according to his will, that I would be the man that he wants me to be.
I was thinking about a story told by Pastor Donnie Pressler, and he was saying that one day he was walking down the street, and he came to a park area fenced off, and there was a little sign. There was like pine cones on the ground or pine needles, and the sign said, "Don't step on the pine needles." And he said, never in a million years would he have ever thought of stepping on the pine needles. But because the sign was there, he just had to just put a foot on them. Because that's what laws do, right? They
right.
provoke, at least the flesh. Our inward man might be delighting in the law, but the flesh just wants to do whatever it's told not to do. And so what we're saying is a spirituality that puts all of your focus on these lists and rules and commands is not going to produce what people hope it produces. Instead, we need this mindset focused on Christ. Now, tell me if you've had this same experience. Because I believe that salvation is completely apart from works.
Right.
Nothing of what I do I think to myself, this contributes to my eternal salvation. I find that very freeing.
That's my exact experience. I grew up in a very extreme legalistic sinless perfection holiness group. I was taught that if you believed that your salvation was secure, you'd go out and live like the devil.
Mm.
In fact, they called everything outside of the cult, they called them dogs. You're going to the dogs if you leave
oh,
our
wow.
group.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first became challenged by a friend, could my view of the gospel be wrong? I was a little worried because what I was hearing when I went to my first campus Crusade for Christ meeting was the promise of eternal security, of once saved, always saved. And I thought, this can't be. And I met with Warren Wilkie, who was on staff with Campus Crusade, 5 times. And that was what I struggled with, because I kept thinking, if I believe this, my life's going to fall apart. But my experience was yours. When I came to believe it, my life blossomed, because now I wasn't holier than thou anymore.
Right.
I didn't have to be better than everybody else.
You don't have to judge other people.
Right. I remember, okay, give you an example. I came to faith in Christ when I was 20. About 9 months later, I hit 21, and it was toward the end of my senior year. Two guys in my dorm that were unbelievers that I was witnessing to, they both became 21 the same week. They said, why don't we go drinking in Newport Beach? And I was like, okay. Well, so we went to some bar in Newport Beach. I'd been in lots of bars with my dad in my lifetime, so I wasn't unfamiliar with bars. But I really didn't want a drink, and I really hadn't had a drink. So I remember they each had hard liquor. I had part of a beer. And I was like, you know, I'm free in Christ to do this. And I didn't do it to impress them. I didn't do it for any other reason than I thought, well, I'm not having to put on some kind of show to show how religious I am.
Right.
That I don't drink. Now, since then, I don't drink. But
right.
The reason is because coming out of an alcoholic family, I just don't think it makes sense. And I decided after that, I'm not going to keep doing that. But not because it was some religious thing. It was just because I thought it was wiser for me as a person. And I found I connected with them much better if I was willing to go and sit with them, even if it was in a context that was not a Christian context. I mean, it was a bar.
Right. Another thing that I think having a spiritual mindset means is you have a different vision of God. If you have a legalistic gospel and a legalistic kind of view of spirituality, it's almost as if you just mess up just a little bit, it's almost as if God hates you and he's going to send you to hell. And you have a very judgmental, scary kind of view of God. But when you know the gospel of grace, when you know we're saved by faith apart from works and just through God's grace by believing in Jesus, you have a gracious, loving view of God. And so serving him by serving others becomes a joy because you know you're secure in his love. You're secure in his, you have this permanent relationship with him.
Right.
And you want to develop intimacy with God.
Exactly. To me, what you've just described opens up the other half. Well, yes, we know that God is displeased when we rebel against him and when we walk in open defiance. And yes, we know he brings about discipline in our lives, that this is not a pleasant thing. However, if that's the only thing we think, then we're missing out on how much God loves us and how he's reaching out to us. The spiritual mindset is the person who's longing for his blessings, concerned, yes, I don't want to experience his displeasure, but really my primary focus is on pleasing him. I want to have that life and peace that comes from being spiritually minded. And so I just think it's a beautiful picture to think of the Christian life as primarily centered on having the right mindset, the spiritual mindset. And if that's the case, then we're not really focusing primarily on our behavior. It's not that our behavior doesn't matter, it does. But what produces the right behavior is not a focus on our behavior, it's having the right mindset and focusing on Christ and his Spirit and his Word. The challenge of the Christian life is really a challenge to see the world the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see the world, to have the mind of Christ. And so our hope and prayer is that you will develop a spiritual mindset and maintain a spiritual mindset so that when Jesus comes soon, you will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion on what happens when we focus our attention on trying to follow the Christian commandments. So maybe you want to go deeper on this subject. Maybe this is new to you. I would like you to get your very own copy of this short, easy-to-read book called Six Secrets of the Christian Life. You can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And you can either search the title or go to our store and find this book. While you're on our website, you might as well take advantage of our many free resources. You can get a free subscription to our print magazine, which is called Grace in Focus. You could get a free subscription to our podcast and our daily blog posts and much more. I hope you'll take advantage of these resources because they're designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. All of this may leave you with some questions, and if that's the case, we would love to hear from you. I'll give you our email address, and we definitely want to know if you've got feedback, comments, or questions. Our email address is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to wrap up our series on the six secrets of the Christian life, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.